And I am going to go to the Gospel of Luke, and I am going to go to chapter 20, start reading at verse number 9 through 19. And if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. And again, I read out of an NIV. If you have a different translation, it's going to be similar. If you don't have your Bible, we do have King James Pew Bibles. Feel free to follow along with me here this morning. Luke 20, starting at verse number 9. He went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they also beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, "God forbid." Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." The teachers of the law and the chief priest looked for a way to arrest him immediately because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. But they were afraid of the people. Let's pray. Father, another great parable by Jesus. And Father, today I'm going to attempt the best that I can to dissect this parable and teach truths based on it. But Father, mostly and specifically, we want your scripture to talk to us here today. So Father, do that. Reveal truths to us through your word. And we thank you for this, for what we're about to learn. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. Once again, as we do every Sunday here in 2019, we're going to continue this journey through the New Testament. We're going to read a little bit every week. We're going to have some Jeopardy questions. And when we come back on Sunday, I am going to preach something of what we read from the past week. Today, I've given the title of today's message, "Give the Vineyard to Others." Those are words from Jesus from the Scriptures. As I was growing up, on Beachdale Street in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in the rural suburbs of Pittsburgh, we did not have much as a family, but we had enough. And what little possessions that we did have, we were expected to take care of them. I still remember my father. He was always taking care of the outdoors, the lawn and the bushes, and always on washing and waxing the cars. And my mother always took care of the inside of the house. It was always neat, it was always clean, and there was always food on the table. But I was always asked and told that I needed to care for my things too. I needed to care for my clothes, I needed to care for my toys, I needed to care for my school books, all of those things. Taking care of my things wasn't optional. And my three sisters and my younger brother were asked and told to do the exact same thing. It was how we were taught when we were growing up. And caring for the things that we had wasn't optional. It was expected. So I'm going to ask a question here this morning. Do we care for the things that we have been entrusted with, whatever those things may be. This morning, I want to take a quick look at history of God's people, his chosen people, the nation Israel. And then I want to expound on that little bit of history I'm going to give you and how that history relates to this parable that Jesus gives us here this morning about a vineyard and some tenants. So here's the history. It kind of goes like this. Up until about, I'd say about 4,000 years ago, if we look at biblical history, there was no such thing as God's people, God's chosen people. There was no such thing. There were just people. And somewhere around 4,000 years ago, about 2,000 BC, God decided to make a nation for his own. So in the 12th chapter of Genesis, we see that God chooses a man named Abram, who later becomes Abraham. And through a promise that God gives this man would be the father of a great nation. And the promise of that great nation would follow his son Isaac, not the other son. And then Isaac was the child of Abraham and Sarah. And then it would follow Jacob, and not his twin brother, who? Esau, very good. So, and Esau and Jacob were the twins of Isaac and Rebekah. But the promise was going to follow Isaac, it was going to follow Jacob, and then it would follow the 12 tribes of Jacob. And then we see the lineage of the promises of God and the path of salvation following down through those 12 tribes. God would have a nation unto himself, and he would call this nation Israel. He would be their God, and they would be his people. And God makes it very clear in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, that the Israelites will take possession of this place called the Promised Land, because God always will fulfill his promise to his people. Specifically, in this case, his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this promise, and Jesus says this very specifically, this promise is not because these people are righteous. It's not because the Israelites are these great people. As a matter of fact, God says in the book of Deuteronomy, they're not a righteous people. They're a stiff-necked people. But it's not because of that. It's not because they're wonderful and good. It's not because they're righteous. It's because they're God's chosen. And God will keep his promise. So the path of salvation was through and only through the true God of the nation of Israel. Psalm 46:13 says this, I will grant salvation to Zion, my splendor to Israel. And the religious leaders at that time, many, many years ago in the time of Moses, were one of the 12 tribes called the Levites. And they were responsible. They had the responsibility for guarding the oracles of God and guiding the people down the proper path of salvation. And that does not mean that people outside of Israel could not be saved. We read about Rahab, the prostitute, who hid the spies in the Jericho incident there in the book of Joshua. And then we read about Ruth, a Moabite woman, who married a Jew by the name of Boaz, and she was grafted into the Jewish people and ended up to be the great-grandmother of King David. So the Mosaic Law speaks quite frequently about aliens and how they're supposed to be treated, people outside the Israelite community who lived among the Israelites, and they gained salvation through those circumstances, through the God of Israel. And we can't ignore, forget about the mass repentance of Nineveh. Jonah walks through the city of Nineveh, preaches for 3 days, and 120,000 people get saved. Now that's quite a revival, my friends. So people outside of God's chosen people could get saved, but only through the God of Israel. So there was salvation, but it was only through God's people. And we know that. And I'm getting my things all mixed up here. There we go. Now let's turn the clock ahead to the time of Jesus. So here we are now, 2,000 years later. What do we know about the path of salvation? Well, Jesus says in John chapter 4, 22, he says this, salvation is from the Jews. That's exactly the way it's always been. Nothing has changed. The path of salvation is still through the Jews and through the God of Israel. But the religious leaders at that time, who would be the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law, were the ones that were trusted to guard the oracles of God and guide the Jewish people down the paths of salvation. Just as I was expected to take care of my possessions as a child, the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, were expected to take care of the Word of God. But we know, as we read in the Gospels, something very terrible happened. They corrupted the law of God in favor of the traditions of men. Their theology became flawed. And because of this, something major was going to happen. And what was going to happen is the result of and gives us a clue in the parable of the vineyard. So let's look closer at this parable that Jesus is teaching and draw some conclusions from that. Remember, the scenario at the time is people were not getting saved because they were not being taught the truth. Jesus comes and he's going to change a few things, and he's real good at doing that. So let's look at this parable. The first thing let's do is let's define what is a parable. It says that Jesus taught in parables. He told about 40 parables. And did you know that in the Gospel of John we find 0 parables? Just thought I'd mention that. There are no parables in the Gospel of John. What is a parable? The definition's on the inside of your bulletin, top right-hand corner. A parable is a usually short, fictitious story that illustrates a moral attitude or a religious principle. And that's exactly what Jesus is demonstrating here. Excuse me. He wants to demonstrate a religious principle. And the listener, us or the people at that time, could easily relate or understand parables because Jesus always spoke about very common things in his parable. So in our parable today, let's fill in a few blanks. Now, if you still have your hand on your parable there in Luke 20, verses 9 through 19, that will be good. And I'm going to keep it pretty simple. And let's just look and let's make an analogy between some of the people and characters in this parable and who they are. First and foremost, the landowner in verse 13 is God. We see that in verse 13. He also could be and probably is the man who planted the vineyard in verse number 9. So we know that. That's the first analogy that Jesus is making. Number two, the vineyard is Israel. Now, the vineyard is a common symbol for Israel and the Jewish nation all throughout Scripture. And here, the landowner represented by God developed this vineyard, this thing called Israel, with great care. So we know who the landowner is. We know who the vineyard represents. And the third one, the farmers or the tenants represent the religious leaders. They were the ones responsible for maintaining the vineyard and all the oracles of God and to guide the people down the path of salvation. And then we have something else. We have in that parable 3 returning servants. Who do they represent? They represent the Old Testament prophets there in verses 10, 11, and 12. God sent prophets back to the vineyard to teach them to try to straighten them out. And we know many of these Old Testament prophets were not liked, and even some of them were killed. Sometimes that's what happens when people speak the truth. And then we have one more fill in the blank. And then the landowner, it says, sends his son back to the tenants. And the landowner's son obviously represents Jesus. I hope you got that one. So if the landowner represents God, the landowner's son obviously represents Jesus. So there's kind of our parable, and there's the analogy that Jesus is giving. We have a landowner, God. The vineyard is Israel. The farmers or the tenants represent the leaders. The returning servants represented the prophets, and the landowner's son represents Jesus. Now, I think we all understand that the point that Jesus is trying to make in this parable. But the power of the parable comes when Jesus asked the listeners this question up in the 15b. Jesus asked this question to those standing there. He asked this, "What then will the landowner of the vineyard do to them?" In other words, do to who's them? Them is the tenants, the farmers, those responsible for for maintaining the vineyard. And it's interesting, and that's the question asked by Jesus, but it's interesting that in the Gospel of Luke, we read that Jesus answers his own question. What's the answer? The answer is given by Jesus in verse number 16. He will come and destroy those vine growers and will give the vineyard to others. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus answers his own question. But there is a parallel passage. What is a parallel passage? It's a passage of the same story told in a different gospel. If we were to go to Matthew chapter 21, we see the same story. We see a little bit different wording in the Gospel of Matthew, and that's where we're going to go to get some help to help define some of these things. We read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 41, "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end." This is after Jesus asked this question. "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." A slightly different answer, but that answer is given by the crowd. Jesus gives this answer, very similar to this answer, but in Matthew we see that the crowd is responding to Jesus' question. So somebody might ask, who answered the question? Was it the crowd or was it Jesus? And the answer is yes. Yes, that's who answered the question. I'm sure both the crowd answered the question, and then Jesus answered the question. And if I was to surmise, if I wasn't there, but if I was to speculate, I would say the crowd answered the question first with this answer, and then Jesus kind of reiterated what they said. So some people might look at this and say, see, the Bible contradicts itself. No, the Bible complements itself. You just have to look at it. So if we look at both of those are the responses. And then if we move on, Jesus gives this, and he says this. What is the response that Jesus gives after all that was done? Jesus looked at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected, this become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls will be scattered like dust." We just read that in the Gospel of Luke. However, if we were to go to the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus gives another response. I believe a response in addition to this. Back in Matthew 21:43, he also says this. He says this, but he also says this. "Therefore I say to you," because this is where we're going to go here this morning. "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it." In those verses, and especially this verse right here, verse 43, Jesus is making a world-changing statement. Jesus is saying that the vineyard, those things that were entrusted to the Jewish people, are going to be taken away from the Jewish leaders, and they're going to be given to someone else, going to be given to another people, given to a people who are going to produce fruit. So the question has got to be, who is Jesus going to give the vineyard to? And I have the answer up here. The answer is in John chapter 10, verse 16. Kind of cryptic. Jesus says this to the people, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Who has the vineyard been given to? Answer, you're looking at them. It's been given to us. It's been given to the church. It's been given to you and me. It's been given to those dirty, filthy, rotten Gentiles. Praise the Lord. It's been given to us. And again, who are these sheep that are not of this sheep pen? Well, this sheep pen represented the Jewish people. Who are the other sheep? It's us. It's us. The message was going to go out into the Gentiles. Yes, salvation is from the Jews. It's from the Jews because it's through Jesus. But the Jews rejected Jesus. And Jesus is the cornerstone. And because of this, the vineyard has now been leased to different tenants. Us. It's been leased to us, the church. And Jesus, that rejected cornerstone, has now become the foundation for the church. He has become our foundation. So now, the landowner, God is still the landowner, has entrusted the new tenants, us, the church, with the vineyard. I have, and you have, we've all been entrusted with the oracles of God. We've been entrusted with the Word of God. We have been entrusted with the path of salvation. So now I need to ask the next question here this morning. If we've been entrusted with the oracles of God, if we've been entrusted with the Word of God, and if we have been entrusted with the path of salvation, what are we doing with that responsibility? Because I assure you, it's not just my responsibility. It's yours. And every other Christian out there, it's the responsibility of the church. What have we done with the Word of God? When we are to stand before God and He critiques me and He critiques you on how we handled His Word, what's God going to conclude? Hey, Mike, I entrusted you with the vineyard. What did you do with it? And he's going to say, is not an acceptable answer. I guarantee you, there are plenty of false prophets out there in this world today who are twisting and they are distorting the Word of God, and they are doing it in the name of Jesus Christ and doing it in the name of the church. And that is not pleasing God very much. Personally, I believe Jesus will return. You know, we all agree that Jesus is going to come back. There is going to be a second coming. I believe, somewhere in my sanctified imagination, I believe Jesus is going to return when God finds the church at the same place that He found the Jewish people in the time of Jesus. So corrupt and so far from the truth, Jesus is going to come back and say, I got to go back and just save my people. I wouldn't take that as gospel, but I like to think that way. Because right now, and you're seeing it and I'm seeing it, and because we have all this media out there, we see the Word of God is being so twisted, so maligned, and distorted by those who have been entrusted to keep it, by people who say they're people of God, by people who say they are the church. And they're not doing a very good job of it. But let's take them out of the equation and let's put us into the equation. What about us? Sure, we're not church leaders. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. But you're a Christian, aren't you? You have been entrusted with the Word of God, sharing the Word of God and the path of salvation. Because Jesus is our cornerstone. So, we need to remember that. We are the new tenants, and the vineyard is up to us to care for it. Remember, people, we are now the guides. And hopefully we are not blind guides. And we have been chosen to produce fruit, because that's what it says in the scripture. And hopefully we will produce fruit abundantly. And yes, we have a responsibility. And hopefully we now know what that is. We are the new tenants. And we have a vineyard to take care of. Let's do that well. Let's pray.